Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Todd Feldman. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Todd is a director of Core Financial Advisory, and he's a certified financial planner. He has over 15 years of financial services experience, and he's had roles within the insurance industry and major national brokerage houses as an agent, a wealth advisor, and a regional specialist. He's chiefly responsible for Core's investment management advice to clients, which we're going to talk about today. He's got some interesting concepts that I think you should hear about, and setting strategic marketing objectives. Todd got his BS in finance from the Smeal School of Business at Penn State University, and he currently serves on the board of directors for the Tourette Syndrome Association of Greater DC and lives in Gaithersburg, Maryland. He's a registered representative and offers security and investment advisory services to his clients. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
The thing that I find interesting that we've talked about some of the services that you provide, is that you've got a strategy for allowing clients to invest that's really very different from what other financial advisors and financial planners use. So I want to get into that in a second. First of all, tell me exactly, in terms of being a certified financial planner, what do you do for your clients and how do you get engaged with your clients?
Well, again, thank you for having me. As a certified financial planning professional, we take clients through a certain process, if you will.
Okay.
And that ranges anywhere from initially laying out one's goals, to gathering information, to forming a financial plan, and then obviously implementing and monitoring the plan as we go along.
Mm-hmm. And the first thing that you sit down and talk about is, you know, I've seen you in action. Don't you want to know what the client's wishes and dreams are?
Absolutely. That's probably paramount to anything else, is to figure out what their vision of their ideal future really is.
So it's like doing a business plan for an individual, right?
Well, we do it for individuals. We do it for families and for business owners as well.
Now, you have to figure out what their wishes and dreams are, but you also have to figure out what their needs are, right?
Absolutely.
So how do you drill into that with a client?
Really by face-to-face conversations. I want to meet with someone and learn everything about them, what their likes, dislikes are, where they've been, where they want to go, what's important to them, and really what their dreams are and what they're looking to accomplish.
Now, every client's different, and they have, you know, they come to you at different ages and stages in their life, right? And so, you know, if you get a client that is relatively young with, you know, young children, you're going to have a very different engagement than somebody who's nearing retirement, right?
Very true.
And the investment strategy that you employ for them also is going to be different, which sort of transitions into this discussion of, I think you have five or six buckets or segments in how you approach investing. And I was fascinated by this. You actually illustrated it for me. How do you approach this with a client in terms of investment strategy and time horizons? What is your philosophy in that regard?
Philosophy for someone who is younger or for someone who's nearing retirement?
Let's start with the retirement age, because that's a lot of the people that listen to this show.
Okay.
And people who are nearing retirement age or in retirement, you know, how do you approach their investment portfolio, and how would you sit down with them and say, okay, this is how, you can't put it all into one bucket, right? I mean, a lot of financial advisors do, but you take a very different approach. How does your approach differ from the other financial advisors out there?
Sure. I think most people, investors, retirees, or even a business owner looking to exit their practice within the next year or two really has a main fear going on right now. And the fear is, will I have enough money to retire? Is it going to last me? And it's very prevalent with the people that I meet recently. And what I'm finding is that everyone looks at their money as if it's in one pot or one bucket.
Okay.
And because of the recent market volatility that dropped in 2008, you're hearing a lot of news about what's happening in Europe and the global economy. They will say, I only have one pot of money, and this is what it's worth. I knew what it was worth in 2008, and it hasn't gotten back. And what I try to do is create a paradigm shift, if you will, for people in this stage of life.
All right.
And so most people, I think, would look at the term ROI as return on investment.
Okay.
And I try to change that just a little bit and have it exemplify a different meaning.
Okay.
Reliability of income. That's what's on the minds of most people.
Reliability of income instead of return on investment. Okay, I got it.
Correct.
I got it.
So what we aim to do is form different time sectors, if you will, in retirement.
All right.
Okay, and so not looking at just one bucket or pot of money where a retiree or a business owner would say, I need to pull out XYZ percent every year, and unless the pot of money earns that amount as well, I'm in a losing situation.
Right. I can't afford to live.
Correct.
Right.
So what I would do is structure a series of different time sectors.
Okay.
To correlate with different stages of life and retirement. The very first sector, or I like to call bucket, would have a five-year time horizon.
Okay. Relatively short term.
Relatively short term. Low risk, not really subject to fluctuation, and the sole purpose of this particular bucket is to be drawn down over the first 5 years of retirement.
Not just to generate income, but to actually be drawn down.
To actually be drawn down in retirement. So it's a very, very safe bucket, if you will.
We're going to empty that bucket.
We're going to empty that bucket over a five-year period.
Okay, got it.
Bucket number two in the strategy would then be set up as an allocation to grow for the first 5 years while the first bucket is being depleted.
Mm-hmm. So it's really replacing some of the stuff that you're taking out of bucket number one with a growth and in principle in bucket number two.
Correct. And the allocation towards the second bucket would have a very conservative allocation as well. So we really want to have 5 to 10 years
covered.
Of money covered to have income in retirement.
Okay. How would you differ the investment? What would be the investments in bucket number one versus bucket number two? I'm just curious how you would differentiate between those two in today's environment.
It's going to be different for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone has a different risk tolerance, time horizon, circumstances.
Okay.
But for the first bucket, it's really going to be
very secure, very
extremely
conservative.
Safe, conservative product. Money markets,
okay.
CDs,
okay.
Things that are very liquid.
And insured, maybe.
Possibly.
If they're CDs, yeah. And bucket number two, what would be there?
Bucket number two would be almost more the same. It may be a little bit more aggressive in as far as the duration or the time of what the products are in that particular bucket, but we're not really seeking to get too much more out of that.
Okay. So we've got 10 years covered in these two buckets. What about after 10 years? How do you deal with that?
Sure. After 10 years, which would represent the third bucket in this strategy.
Okay.
Remember, for review, while the first bucket is being drawn down and depleted for 5 years, the second bucket had been growing for 5 years.
Right.
That bucket now will convert, if you will, to a fixed allocation like the first bucket to be drawn over the second five-year period.
Okay.
While all that is happening, bucket number three will have been growing for a 10-year time horizon.
Ah, I see. So it's a little bit longer term strategy.
It's a little bit longer term because it's a little bit longer term. And of course, you take into consideration someone's individual risk tolerance.
Okay.
You are able to become a bit more aggressive to take advantage of market appreciation.
People are afraid of the market today, though, aren't they? And they're saying, don't put too much at risk because, you know, I'm afraid of losing everything.
I've heard that. I certainly have.
But you're not necessarily afraid of what's going to happen 10 or 20 years out is what I'm hearing.
Right. The longer the time you have in the market, the better off you are.
The more fluctuation you're going to have and the more possibility for growth, right?
Very true.
And that's historically proven.
Historically proven.
What about beyond bucket number three, what is there? Is that, you know, what goes into those buckets?
Well, as you can imagine, buckets number four and five, since they will have longer maturities, bucket number four would have a 15-year time horizon.
Okay.
Bucket number five would have a 20-year time horizon. So what we're able to do, because the time frames are much longer, is slowly become more aggressive in our asset allocation. So maybe, again, depending on someone's individual circumstances, you have a 60-40 asset allocation from stocks to bonds in bucket number three.
Okay.
And then in bucket number four, maybe it goes to 70-30 and then so forth. And it will change for each family, couple, or individual.
How do you know how much goes into each bucket? How do you figure that out?
What we do in this circumstance is we start from the very beginning. And you want to take a look at what a client might have in as far as income already established coming in into their family. That could be things like a pension from a former company. It could be Social Security income. After that, when you have that floor of income where you know what's coming in, you would take a look and figure out where the lifestyle wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if a client says, this is what I have coming in, this is what I'd like my lifestyle to be in retirement,
right,
there's certainly going to be a gap there. And it's that gap that needs to be made up from the investments the client has in as far as the retirement income model we're talking about.
Sometimes you have to reset client expectations too in terms of how much money they're spending, don't you? I mean, sometimes people are spending too much and they can't afford to live on what they've supposedly saved.
That is true. More times than not, we are talking about possibly working longer,
mm-hmm,
or reducing the type of lifestyle that someone may have envisioned in their retirement years. Taking all that into consideration, however, this is the reason you work with a financial planner. This is why you have someone to do a lot of education to come up with a plan to implement it. And then probably, in my opinion, most importantly, would be to monitor that plan as the years go forward.
So this is not something that's static. It's a dynamic plan that has to change constantly, doesn't it?
It is very disciplined and at the same time, extremely flexible.
Okay.
And you're right, Wayne, it needs to be monitored on an annual basis, if not on a quarterly basis.
Do you, at Core Financial Advisory, do you provide sort of a setup plan for the people that come in to work with you? And then do you have certain, is it a fee-based plan that you charge a certain amount of money for? You don't have to say what your fees are, but just for the listener's benefit, certified financial planners typically charge a fee for their service, don't they?
Some do. We are set up at Core to basically do whatever the client is most comfortable doing.
Okay.
If they would like to pay a fee for services, we can accommodate that. It's also very common, as you know, if there are assets to be managed, that there is a percentage fee assessed on those assets to cover the comprehensive planning that we do.
Which provides an incentive for you to maximize the return on investment for the clients, because if their portfolio is worth more, then you make more money. Which is it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
That's one way to look at it. What I tell people is that it's in my best interest to preserve assets. We certainly would like to grow them, but when you're looking at retirees, it's more important to protect the nest egg and make sure that the plan is set up so that it is conservative enough to achieve what it's set up to do.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that your practice is really focusing heavily more on retirees than on any other segment these days?
It is that way right now. About 15 years ago, the majority of the people that we worked with were younger and they were in the wealth accumulation phases,
sure,
of their lives.
So you're growing with your clients as they,
correct,
get older.
They were, right, high income earners, growing their family nest egg. And now at this point, what you're seeing is that just from a maturation of my clientele, people need a different strategy to move into the next phase of their lives. And then, as I said before, we're finding a lot of private business owners who really want to exit out of their practices, but are not getting the valuations they once thought they should be receiving.
We're talking with Todd Feldman of Core Financial Advisory. Todd, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Very simply, they may contact me direct at 301-775-4920 or reach me via email at toddfeldman@financialguide.com.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth and telling us about the buckets of investment that you all offer to your clients.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
And thanks for listening. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.